We love you, God, so much. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. God, you're so good to us. You're so good to us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. One disadvantage I feel of having a guest speaker on Wednesday night is that we're divided into so many classes, and tonight we've got classes all over the place, and the guest speaker only gets to speak to just a percentage of the church, but we're all here, us, and we're looking forward to the word of the Lord. Brother Punzel always has something that's fresh and something that's good and great. Good to see a good number of people from his church here. We're thrilled about that. Brother Punzel took the church. They've just about doubled in attendance, averaging 40, 45, doing a great job. Every week he calls me and tells me about something that happened down in Fort Atkinson. He had a story he was telling me tonight. It's just a thrill to have you, Brother Punzel. We want you to come. Bring us the word of the Lord. Give him a great big Madison warm welcome. We love you, man.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's give a hand clap unto the Lord right now. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get somebody to lift their hands to the Lord and just worship him with all your heart? God, we worship you and thank you right now. God, you're so good. God, we thank you, Jesus, for everything you're wanting to do. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, "My, you look good tonight." Turn to somebody else and say, "You do too." Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I know it's a Wednesday night. Brother Grant told me to take my liberty. But can we just have church in here tonight? Amen. Amen. You know, I believe I've come with a message. Brother Grant called me today. I'm very honored to be here speaking for Brother Grant. I love being here. I love all you folks. I'm just, what an honor it is, Brother Grant, to be here. What a privilege it is to come back and speak to you. But I feel that I have a message for Madison Church tonight from God. Amen. I have a message for you, for God. You may be seated, but in how God speaks to me, and I'll get into my message here momentarily, but I feel that I have something to speak to you from God, and in the last year or so, I've learned to speak things that I might not always understand, but when I know they're God, I've got to speak them. And so today, Brother Grant called, and I was getting ready to come here, and how God speaks to me. Spoke something to me, and I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but I'm just going to give you a little background. I'm like, I know it's God speaking to me. The Bible says that the same Spirit worketh all in all, and the same voice I heard and the same prompting I felt when I felt like I should call about the building we ended up getting for $50,000 was the same voice I felt today, and the same voice I feel to knock on somebody's door or make a phone call to somebody was the same voice that I felt today, but this is a little different, but I know that it's the same Spirit. But Brother Grant, I feel that God spoke to me today that in this church here, that within this church, other than myself, there are four more churches inside of this church, Brother Grant. And I'm not saying where 400 people are going to go, but I feel in the Spirit that here tonight, under the sound of my voice or somewhere in this building, there are four men, distinctly, there are four men that in the near future are going to be leaving here to start churches somewhere else. Amen. I feel that in the Spirit here. Amen. And there's not only four men, but somebody under the sound of my voice or in this building here tonight, there are also some women here that a God is going to use to do a great work. I don't know their voices for sure. A couple of them I have premonitions about, but I'm not going to speak that. But somewhere in this building tonight, there are four people that are going to do a great work for God. There are four churches here within this building tonight. Amen. You're going to have to step out of your boat. Amen. You're going to have to step out of the boat. Another thing I feel God spoke to me to say to somebody here tonight is you're going to have to develop your own identity. We've all got to develop our own identity. The Bible says it's not wise to compare yourselves one amongst another. Amen. You just got to find your own spot in God, whatever that is. You won't be another Brother Grant. You're not going to be a Lenny Smith. You're not going to be a Brother Punzel. I remember back when I wanted to be the next Lee Stone King. And God spoke to me and said, you're not Lee Stone King. I didn't save you to be Lee Stone King. You're Brother Punzel. But you know what? I'll reach people that he's never going to be able to reach. And you're going to be able to reach people that I could never reach or Brother Grant could never reach. But you're going to have to develop your own identity. And Brother Grant, one other thing I feel to say here is, I've heard you speak it. It's one of the visions that you have is a 20,000 soul revival. That 20,000 soul revival is going to come when we begin to send out. You're going to harvest through sending. The Bible says, give and it shall be given. And I know, Brother Grant, you've been very generous with your finances, but God's speaking now, you're going to be generous with the people here. God's going to begin through Brother Grant and his church to raise up men that are going to go into communities and towns and do what my wife and I are doing. Amen. Does anybody believe that? Can we give the Lord a hand clap? Is there anybody that wants to do that? Is there somebody that say, here am I, send me, send me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Been very generous with the finances, but I believe, Brother Grant, that God's calling Madison. I feel this in the spirit so strongly as I was studying today and praying and I came here. But I feel in the spirit that God wants to take Madison to a new level. It's time, Brother Grant, that you're going to step into a new dimension in the spirit. Amen. I mean, we can get to a spot, and I'm not saying that you've become comfortable, but even in our own personal lives, we get used to how we've been. But God wants us all to step to a new level. You know how you are right now? You're not going to be that way in a year or 2 years. You're always changing in the kingdom of God. God's always developing and taking you to new spots. You can't stay in the same spot. You can't go backwards. You've got to be moving ahead in God. And it's the same in the church, Brother Grant. God wants to take Madison to the next level. Is there anybody that wants to go to the next level in Madison? Hallelujah. Clap your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Say, I receive it right now. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God wants to do some great things in Madison. I feel that in the spirit that you're going to begin to walk in new dimensions and see through new things in the spirit and experience new things. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah, the 60th chapter. And I'm just going to keep moving along. And I feel God's going to speak through me about certain things to you tonight in regards to this. But Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 5, if you would turn in your Bibles or look on the screen and I'll begin to read there. But it simply says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. We could say there's gross darkness in our world right now. And there's gross darkness on the people. Just open up your newspaper. Just turn on the radio. Just turn on, not the television. Turn on the radio and listen. Turn on something and listen. I mean, read your newspapers. Walk down the street and talk to people. Stand at the bus stop and listen to people's conversation. Hey, there's gross darkness in our world. This is a prophecy written about the church in the end time. In verse 3 it says, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about. I want to stop right there. See, the problem we get a lot of times is we begin to look at the negative. We focus on the negative, and instead of our eyes looking unto God, like David said in the Psalms, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. See, we're looking at government. We're looking at our world. We're looking at the negative. And all the things going on, and we focus on that, and pretty soon our eyes are focused down here instead of where they should be. So in spite of all the darkness going on and all the things that we're seeing, our world's falling apart and the financial system's falling apart, our government's falling apart, countries are falling apart. Lift up thine eyes round about and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged because of the abundance that shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Joel said it like this, and the latter rain shall be greater than the former. This is our finest hour, church. Hallelujah. Can we put our hands together right now? Church, this is our finest hour. Hallelujah. Joel the prophet said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. How many of you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight? Amen. All right, now, how many of you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the last 6 months or a year? Several of you. Let's give them a hand clap. For all of you that are new into this and don't have preconditioned minds and mindsets, let me tell you something. Give yourself to this. Throw yourself into this 100%. Pray as much as you can. Fast as much as you can. Open your Bible and get the Word of God in your heart, because the Word of God, the Bible says, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Throw yourself into this 100%. Dive in. Don't just tippy-toe in or step into your knees, but get into this all that you can. Open up the Bible. I encourage you. I challenge you. Open up and put yourself in the book of Acts and begin to read about the signs and the wonders and miracles and the great things that were in the book of Acts, and say, I want to be like that. Emulate that. Give your life to that. That's what you should role model your life after. And I love all of us that have been around 20 and 30, 40 years, but we've become conditioned in our minds. We know how to clap. We know how to look good. We know how to be Pentecostal. But let me tell you something. God's got a message for the church. Amen. He's rearranging our mindsets. Amen. He wants people that are hungry. He wants people that are on fire. He wants people that are willing to jump in with everything they got. Head, soul, toe, everything. And give themselves to God like they've never given themselves before. People that want to pray and fast till the power of God flows out of your hands and it's coming out of your mouth, and everywhere you go, you're under the anointing of God. Hallelujah. That's the message God's got for His church in 2012. Amen. He wants us to arise and shine to that place of power and preeminence that God wants His church to be. Hey, we're not the church on the corner down the street. We're not another group somewhere, but we've got the power of Almighty God. Amen. You raise your hands, all of you that had the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The prophet said it's like a fire shut up in my bones, but we come to church and we sit down, we contain it. You go to your workplace and you contain it. Everywhere you go, you're careful with it. Hey, what about getting drunk in the Holy Ghost? Amen. And being under the influence of the Spirit of God, that everywhere you go, it's like, I can't contain it. I can't hold it in. I don't want to hold it in. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to hold this stuff in, Brother Grant. I'm done with being sophisticated, amen. I want the fire, amen. I want the power of the Holy Ghost flowing through my body, amen. I want to see signs and wonders and miracles. Hey, the book of Mark says, Mark chapter 16, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with two tongues. Amen. I want everybody just to take a moment and turn around and look behind you. You see anything behind you besides other people? The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just not satisfied anymore. I'm not just satisfied with coming and filling a seat. I'm not satisfied with putting my offering in a plate. Sister, it's so awesome to see you. I remember the day I walked in your house and I told Noah, the same premonition, the same feeling I had tonight when I talked to Noah. I said, your mom is going to come to church. Amen. I can feel it when I walked in her house. Amen. I want to pray with you right now. God, I thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I'm just thanking you, God, Lord. Lord, that your great calling and your purpose are on this life, oh God. Lord, that you use her, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And let that anointing, God, just continue to rest on her, God, and her husband, oh Lord. That you're working on him right now, God, to draw him in, Lord. And Lord, let her be a witness unto him, oh God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God. And I'm speaking healing into this body right now, God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this prophecy I read tonight was a prophecy about the end time church. I believe that's the day and the hour we're living in right now. Amen. The church is living in a world that is full of darkness and gross darkness. It's stuff that you don't want to talk about. You don't want to read about it. You don't want to hear about it. A few months ago, we read about a 14 or 15 year old girl that wandered the streets of Madison. Her parents had locked her in the basement. They'd abused her. That is gross darkness, folks. Amen. I don't know what it, we've become so conditioned in our minds by the evil all around us and the things we see that doesn't affect us anymore. But that's got to begin to affect us. And that's the kind of stuff we got to read about that says, oh God, I'm not doing good enough. It isn't enough for me to dress up in my suit and tie and show up in church and put my money in an offering plate. And it's not enough to have perfect attendance. I got to get a hold of something. I got to get a hold of something in God. And God, you got to drive me to my knees. Amen. You got to cause me to pray and seek your face. Amen. You know, the Bible says it's not the lost or it's not other groups, but if my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll heal from heaven. Amen. I want to get a hold of something, folks. There's got to be something that drives us more than ever driven us before. Amen. We're living in the last days. We're living in a time, I don't know if you feel what I feel, but there's an urgency. There's something in this world that says I can't just continue to go on the way that I've always been going. There's got to be something that begins to break in upon us, amen, that in the middle of the night, God can speak to us when we're sleeping and wake us up in the middle of the night and said, oh God, and he begins to speak to us and we begin to pray and intercede for some lost boy, somebody that's contemplating suicide, a marriage that's about to be broken, amen, somebody that's about to murder. Amen. We've got to be in that spot where God can speak to his church and we can stand in the gap between heaven and hell. See, we're all he's got, folks. You got to get that in your mind. He doesn't have a backup plan. This is it. We are all that God has. Amen. He doesn't have a plan B or a C or a D. He's got the church, you and I. That's his only plan. It's us. Turn to yourself. Turn to your neighbor. You can't turn to your neighbor and say, you're all he's got. I want somebody just real lightly, not too hard, but just pinch yourself. Say, I've all he's got. Don't let this world tell you you're nothing. Don't let them tell you you're insignificant. Amen. You are something. You've been filled with God's Spirit. You've been born again. And God is depending on you. He's depending on you. He's depending on all of us in this building tonight. That who is God is depending on. You say, well, I don't know very much. Well, that's fine. The Bible says not many wise are called. I'm not very strong. Well, see, the Bible says God doesn't use the strong things of this world, but he uses the weak to confound the wise. He uses the simple to confound the knowledgeable. Hey, he knew what he was doing when he picked you. Say, well, I'm not beautiful. What is beautiful? Are you looking at Hollywood or getting their version? The Bible says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And if God made you, that's good enough for me. So you are beautiful. You do have a purpose. Well, I got frailties. Well, let me tell you something. Brother Punzel's got frailties. I know Brother Grant might have some frailties. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was a liar. David was a murderer and an adulterer. But he was a man after God's own heart. Peter denied Jesus 3 times and cursed, said, I never knew him. And he's the guy just a few days later, a short time later, got up on the day of Pentecost and opened the church age preaching, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Has anybody ever heard that message? Hallelujah. So you're all he's got. God is going to use us to affect our world. As crazy as that might sound, as ridiculous as that might sound to some of us, God wants to use the likes of Brother Grant and I. He wants to use the likes of all of you sitting under the sound of my voice tonight to make a difference, to impact somebody's life, to change the world. See, in 1930, late 1930s and early 1940s, the world was beginning to be gripped by what we know as World War II. Europe in that time frame was being torn apart. A man that we may recognize the name of, Adolf Hitler, was rising to power. Jews were being murdered and tortured, put to death by the thousands and hundreds of thousands. Great Britain was being bombed day and night. Buildings were getting blown up. The countries were getting torn apart. Whole nations were getting wiped out, overtaken by the Iron Curtain of Germany. They were marching across Europe. They were engulfed in a great war. It tied the whole European nations up. But all of that was going on in America. For the most part, largely, we were watching. We hadn't become involved. We were just on the outskirts, Brother Lenny. We were kind of paying attention, and yeah, we were concerned about it, and yeah, we knew that atrocities were happening and a lot of terrible things were happening there, but it wasn't our war. We hadn't become involved yet, Brother Grant. We were on the outskirts looking in. We seen it on the news, and we seen it in the newspapers, and yeah, I'm sure we even prayed about it, and we probably, churches probably across this country, and maybe some of you remember, maybe there was prayer meetings called, and we prayed for the people in Europe, and we prayed for them, and we were concerned, but it wasn't our war. But we know that in December of 1941, on the seventh day, that we were attacked in Pearl Harbor, and suddenly what wasn't our war became our war. We got involved. We didn't choose to be. We hadn't chosen to become anybody's ally. We hadn't sided with anybody yet, but we had been on the outside. But all of a sudden, December 7th, 1941, it was a different war. It came to America. It came to our shores. It was our young men that died. It was our husbands and wives and our children that had died, that were attacked there. And suddenly on December 8th, we hadn't issued a declaration of war, but on December 8th, the very next day, the United States issued a declaration of war with Japan. It became personal. And we hadn't engaged, brother, till that time, but all of a sudden, we engaged. We didn't do that till it became personal. Something had to happen to draw us into the war. An attack on our own shores and had to come to us. Why? Let me ask you this tonight. Why does it have to become personal? Why does it have to be our children attacked? Why does it have to be the enemy or the devil coming into our homes or our marriages or our lives, our children's lives, or somebody that we know before we want to engage? We're on the outside looking in, and yeah, we might be concerned. But church, let me tell you something. We can't wait around anymore. Let me tell you, it's time to engage, amen. We've got to be more than concerned. We've got to do more than pray and stand off and be concerned and read all of the atrocities going on. We've got to become engaged with this. We can't let it be just somebody else's battle. Well, you know, I've got money in my bank account and my finances are good. My children are doing good and they're going to school. Amen. You know, it's their problem. Their children are getting attacked, or it's their finances that are getting attacked. It's their health that's getting attacked. Don't you ever get tired of the fact that people all around us are attacked by cancer and disease and sickness and all of these things, and we don't ever engage? And we're going to let the devil run rampant in our homes. And you know what? It's not even our homes, but this world. And we wonder why we don't win wars. We've got abortion that's taking the lives of babies, thousands of babies daily. And I'm not going to stand and go anywhere with bulletin boards. I'm not going to carry a gun. Here's my simple recipe to that. We could win these battles if we would get on our knees and pray and seek God and take up the weapons of our warfare, for they're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. But instead, We don't want to do that because we walk in the carnal mind. You know what we want to do? We want to get billboards and stand out on a corner somewhere. And we want to carry guns and shoot them instead of be praying for them. But if we'd pick up the weapons that God gave the church, we could win some of the battles. But we'll talk about it. We're concerned, but we're not going to do anything about it. But let me tell you something, folks. It's time to engage. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to engage. Say, I've got to get involved. Say, it's more than the pastor getting involved. It's more than the Sunday school teachers. Say, it's me. Say it like you mean it. It's me. We've got to engage, church. We've got to become involved. God wants us to go to another level. More than we're doing right now. More than we're doing right now. You know, just raise your hands again. How many of you have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You know the thing about the Holy Ghost in me? I was 17. I had earrings all over. I was hooked on cocaine and drugs and all that stuff. I'm different now. You know the thing that bothers me? Is people that are filled with the Holy Ghost that don't smile. They're not happy. They don't change. They're not excited about God. And you know what? Everybody's got a downtime. But I'm talking service after service after service. We're not an anemic church. We're not a powerless church. We're a happy church. We're a powerful church. We're a glorious church. Amen. We're a holy church. We should be excited about coming to church. Amen. Do you ever feel like jumping when you come to church? Hallelujah. We got to get a hold of this, folks. We got to get the jump back in us. We got to get the bounce back in our steps. We got to get this again where when the doors are open, Brother Grant, I want to be there. Don't make the preacher beg me to get to church. Hey, when's the doors going to be open? Brother Grant, can I get a key to the church? I want to be there. Amen. I want to be there all the time. You don't got to beg me to come anymore. Oh, you know what? We got, you know, I'll get there when I get, you know what? I believe in work. You ask my family, you ask Brother Grant. I believe in working hard, folks. But there's something that, hey, I'm not missing church for work anymore. Amen. I remember back when I came into all of this, they said, if you got to miss work for church, and I understand an occasional situation. But when it's week after week and service after service, you know what we tell ourselves? You know, well, we got to work. And I understand all of that. We got to work. We got to pay our bills. Amen. We've got to do all of those things. But we've rearranged things. Back when I came in, Brother Lenny, remember they said, if you got to miss church, you go get another job and God will fix all that. I hope that's okay. I hope it's okay. And you know what? If you had to wear pants on your job, you went and got a job where you could wear a skirt. And I hope that's okay too. But amen, I'm not willing to sacrifice anymore and make compromises for my faith. Amen, I want to be so full of this. Amen, it don't matter what the world says. We just got to really start believing some of the stuff that's in the Bible. He shall supply all my needs. And I know there's another scripture somewhere. See, I say that. I know that it's in the Bible and I know where it is. But I just kind of paraphrase it. I know somewhere in the Bible it says this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. And Brother Russell, I know it says somewhere else that I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bed. Why don't we just put God first again and honor him. Amen. And let him sort all the rest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we were engulfed in a war. And America just kind of stood by idly watching while countries were being torn apart and thousands of Jews were putting in gas chambers. And then once we were attacked on our shores, we engaged. I was reading a little bit about Pearl Harbor, and this is what Prime Minister, it was a story about Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and he said, when Prime Minister Winston Churchill was notified of the attack, he jumped to his feet and called the White House immediately. He said, Mr. President, what is this we hear about Japan? It is quite true, President Roosevelt replied. They have attacked us at Pearl Harbor, and we are all in the same boat now. Hey, folks, we're all in the same boat. In spite of the tragedy, Winston Churchill was exuberant over the prospect of America becoming a full-fledged ally. Later, he wrote, to have the United States at our side was to me the greatest joy. England would live. Britain would live. The Commonwealth of Nations and the Empire would live. They were just waiting for an ally. Great Britain felt isolated, being bombed and torn apart, nobody coming to their rescue. I read another story about Winston Churchill, and it says that in the height of the bombings, they were being bombed 24 hours a day. There was no relief. And he went out there at one of the darkest hours and took the part of a charred building. On the all that was left of the buildings were parts of block walls. And he took a piece of burnt timber. This is a prime minister. Went out there himself because his people's morale was low. They felt defeat. And he took a big piece of charred timber and he wrote on that wall, "They may have broken down our walls. They may have bombed our buildings. But they haven't broken down our spirits. And we're going to fight in the valleys. And we're going to fight on the hills. And we will be victorious." See, what the world's looking for right now is an ally. There's people that are being attacked night and day. Their families are being broken down. Their homes are being broken down. Their health is being broken down. They're being attacked every hour, everywhere they turn. And all they're waiting for is an ally. Somebody to come alongside of them. Somebody to grab them around the shoulder and say, "You can make it. And we're here for you, folks." That's the job of the church. It's not the state. It's not welfare. It's not the government. It's the church's job. God empowered us. He didn't give it to the President of the United States. He didn't give it to HUD. He didn't give it to the state or the welfare programs. He empowered the church. Amen? Is there anybody that believes that here tonight? It's the church. Jesus said, "And greater things than these shall you do." He didn't empower other organizations but his church. He put healing in your hands. Give me your hand, Brother Jeff. God put healing in your hands. God put healing in your hands. Brother Lenny, you know that. God put healing in your hands. He didn't put it in anybody else's hand. No other organizations. There's nobody that can do what we can do. And that's not arrogance or that's pride. There's only one church, amen. And it's us. It ain't coming from anywhere else, folks. We can't wait for the government to do it. Let me tell you something. This is our finest hour, sister. You know why? This is our finest hour, and let me tell you why. Because they're out of answers. White House is out of answers. Washington's out of answers. United Nations is out of answers. They don't have any more money. It's all a lie. All they're doing is fooling you. They're trying to bluff you. They're out of money. They don't have any more answers. The job markets aren't getting better. Amen. This is our finest hour. We're the only answer this world's got. Thank God we got an election coming up, and I'm going to vote. But you know what? The answer's not coming from our next president. It's not coming from the United Nations. It's coming from heaven, and then it's coming through us, folks. Woo! Come on, let's put our hands together. Thank you, Jesus. Greater. Somebody say greater. Say it again, greater. Greater things than these shall you do. And the former reign shall be greater than the latter. Hallelujah. Think about that, folks. Peter seen 3,000. Let's double that, 6,000. Let's lift our hands right now. Hallelujah. Just receive it. Hallelujah. There's somebody here that God's dealing with right now. Come on, somebody. Maybe one of them four men is in this place right now. You can't be satisfied with the status quo anymore. Hallelujah. This isn't pride or arrogance, but you know what, folks? I'm not waiting for the next pedigree preacher from down south or some big name preacher to figure it out. Brother Grant, I want to get a hold of something so bad in my life. We sit and we read about Peter and Paul and the stories they told folks. Hey, why don't some of us get some stories? We get a little chance to sit around heaven. Why don't we tell them what happened in 2012? Why don't we have some stories when we get there? You should have been there. You should have been there when this happened. It ain't just for the preachers, folks. It ain't for the preachers' wives. It ain't for the song leaders. But it's for you under the sound of my voice. If this church would stand to its feet and come to the fullness of the power, they would say of us, like they said of them in the book of Acts, they that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. How many of you really believe that here tonight? Or is it just a fairy tale in the book of Acts? Hey, you got to get to this thing where it doesn't matter if you understand it or not, but it's in the Word of God and you just believe it. I don't know how the Red Sea parted. All I know is it did. And they walked around on dry ground. Hallelujah. I don't know how the manna came, but God sent manna and he sent quail from heaven. Hallelujah. It says their clothes never wore out and they never feet, their shoes never wore out. I don't understand it, but you know what? I believe it. And it would do some of us good if you'd forget the stuff up here and you just begin to believe it with all your heart. See, what you say is, well, you show me and I'll believe it. And God says, oh, no, you believe it and I'll begin to show you. Hallelujah. You got to step out of the boat. Hallelujah. Say, I believe it. Say, I got to get out of this boat. See, the first step's always the hardest. You put yourself in Peter's spot sometime. I don't know how deep the water was right there, but it don't matter at all. I mean, it says it was a sea. There's no weight in water and seas. He had to take the first step out of that boat. There wasn't no holding on to anything when you take the first step out. But let me tell you something. Every step after that gets a little bit easier. Hallelujah. Somebody here has got to begin to take the first step out of the boat. Hallelujah. So somebody in this world is just looking for an ally. You know, there's people you work with that are looking for an ally. Your neighbor might be looking for an ally. Their house might be falling apart. They could be contemplating suicide. They may be on the verge of divorce. And within you is the answer to their life. See, you got to begin to believe that. See, the problem we have is maybe we don't really believe as much as we think we do. Because if we really believe this would change the world, we would tell everybody we've seen. We couldn't hold it in. We couldn't make excuses anymore. We couldn't walk away from one person without saying, hey, I just feel like I got to tell you what happened in my life. So, well, many of the people in Japan were feeling victory and great confidence for the bombing of Pearl Harbor and destroying much of America's fleet. The admiral who had led the mission, Admiral Ishiraku Yamamoto, had different feelings. He made this statement. He says, I fear that all we've done is to awaken a sleeping giant and to fill him with a terrible resolve. See, the title of my message tonight is Awakening a Sleeping Giant. Brother Grant, I'm not being offensive. This church is an awesome church. This church is a powerful church. But Brother Grant, I believe God wants to awaken this church to another level. All the outreach you're doing and all the things you're doing. See, you don't understand, but that's a stirring of the Spirit. And as you begin to follow the leading of that Spirit and follow that prompting and that drawing, God will begin to walk you into other dimensions. And I felt that in the Spirit today so strongly that as you begin to send out, amen, that 20,000 soul harvest will begin to come in. As you begin to send, Brother Grant, I feel to say right now, there are missionaries that are sitting under the sound of my voice tonight. There are pastors that are sitting under the sound of my voice tonight. There are evangelists in this place tonight, amen. And from this church, they will begin to go forth into the harvest of this world and begin to reap a great harvest, amen. Hallelujah. And that is the next level of prominence that Calvary Gospel Church is going to get. Amen. You're known all over this world for your giving attitude and finances, but your next level of giving is the people that you're going to begin to send out. You're going to begin to send out quality people. You're going to begin to send out first-class people that are going to begin to impact this world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Romans 13 and 11, it says, "In that knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed." Somewhere in all of this, folks, we can't wait for the pastor anymore. We can't wait for the Sunday school teacher. But somewhere in all of this, there has to be something that begins to burn down inside of our own hearts and souls. See, I want to be a great Christian, Brother Lenny. I'm not satisfied with being mediocre. I don't want to just come to church. I don't want to just look Pentecostal. And I love everything we do. I love the beautiful women. I love the long hair. I love the fancy dress. I love the suits and ties. I love getting dressed up to come to church, you know. Hey, I love everything that we do. But I don't want to be just a Christian. I don't want to just come to church anymore. Hey, you know, Pastor's seen me. My conscience is eased. But Brother Lenny, I want to be a great Christian. I want to be one of the names in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I want to define myself, folks. And to be in that book, you've got to define yourself. You've got to do something better than anybody else before you did it. You've got to do more of something than anybody else that ever did it before you. You've got to define yourself. And this world is looking for Christians that want to define themselves. They're looking for people that want to pray like nobody's ever prayed. Hey, the depths of prayer have never been explored. You can pray. You can do more than anybody's ever done. And young person here, whoever it is, you young people that just got the Holy Ghost, pray as much as you can. It's not just when you sit down to eat. It's not just before you go to bed. But the Bible says pray without ceasing. Amen. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Amen. You want power with God, just get a hold of Him. Come on. Fast more than you just do one day a week. Push yourself and say, I'm going to go on a 3-day fast. I haven't done it for a long time, but I'm going to go on a 3-day fast. I want to get closer to God. I want to know Him. I don't want to be in that group when I stand on the last day that says, depart from me. I never knew you, but I want to know Him. It's not enough to hear it from pastor's mouth. It's not enough to hear it from somebody else. But I want to know Him myself. I want to feel God's presence. I want Him to speak to me. Is there anybody that wants to feel God speak to them? Say, go knock on that door. And when you knock on that poor door, the people begin to weep and cry and say, we've been waiting for somebody to come to us. Why do we got to leave it for Peter and his shadow healing somebody? Why doesn't somebody in 2012 get a hold of God that they take him out of the hospitals and say, we can't do anything for him, but we heard there's a church over on Commercial Avenue. You can take him there and lay him at the altar and just the very shadow of the pastor will heal them. I don't want to be a normal Christian. I didn't say abnormal either. But I want to define myself. I want to be the guy when nothing else is available said, you got to go to his house. He knows God. Why do we got to leave it to Elijah and Elisha? How about somebody coming and knocking on your door saying, we heard you're a praying man. We heard you know God. And I've got this situation in my life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to take this. I want to take it, and I don't want to leave the awesome things done in this book back in history. I want to drag them out of that, and I want them to begin to happen in my day, where I go, everywhere I go. Church isn't, being a Christian isn't just here, folks. It isn't just a Sunday go-to-meeting situation. This is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Start all over and do it again. It's when you go to work. It's when you go home. It's when you talk to your wife, amen. You did know that, right? It's not just being polite when you're in church, but it's everywhere you go. We got to be Christians everywhere we go. We got to be full of the Holy Ghost. I hope this is okay. And you know what? If it's not, I know it's still right anyway. See, I don't want just sloppy agape. I don't want just human love. But I want the fruit of the Spirit. I want a supernatural. I want it flowing off my hands and out of my voice. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Come on, God. Get a hold of me till love is dripping off of me. And they can hear it in my voice. They can feel it flowing from me. Love that'll reach down to their sin and degradation and look beyond all of that and pull them out. Hey, those are in the, that's in the Bible, folks. That's not Aristotle. That's not Socrates. That's the Bible. God, get a hold of me till the gifts of the Spirit are working in my body. You know, otherwise, this Holy Ghost is just a waste of time in our lives. God might as well give it to somebody else and say, oh, that's pretty hard. Here's what the Bible says about that. He gave us talents. 10 to 1, 5 to another 1, and 1 to 1. The man that had 10 went out and doubled his. The man that had 5 went out and doubled his. The one that had 1 talent buried his. And God says, you wicked and slothful servant, I'm going to take that from you, what you have, and I'm going to give it to somebody else. See what God's going to do? He's going to take it from you, and he's going to give it to somebody else that's going to have, he's going to get a good return. And I'm not saying God's taking the Holy Ghost from you. But some of us wonder why. Oh, how come nothing's ever happening in my life? How come God doesn't do anything in my life? He isn't getting a return. God's a good investor. He's only going to invest where he gets a good return. Amen. Well, how come this stuff's always happened for so-and-so? And how come God's always doing stuff in their lives? Because God knows if he gets it to them, he can get it through them. And that's not just finances. God wants his Spirit to flow through you and to touch somebody else's life. You got to use this thing, folks. Stir up the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy, by the laying on of the hands of the elders. It's not enough to leave it dormant in your body. And you know what? Let me just say this. It's not good enough just to be a nice guy anymore or a nice girl. God wants you to use what he gave you. Amen. You got to be more than a nice person. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost. You got to be able to lay hands on people and heal them and deliver them and set them free. Everybody close your eyes and raise your hands right now. I want to pray for you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now. And Lord, you have a calling on this life and a purpose for his life, oh God. And Lord, hallelujah. Lord, I'm just praying right now, God, that she would not be satisfied with what this world tells her is prominence. Oh, God, but you have more for her in the kingdom of God. And Lord, I'm just praying that that would begin to surface in her life, oh, God, that you'd give her the grace to begin to walk, oh, God. And Lord, if it means walking away from the things that have been sown into her as an important, God, I pray that she'd begin to follow you, God, and use her, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. We can't hide the light anymore, folks. And Jesus went on to say, he said, if you're salt and you're not touching somebody's life and preserving, you're good for nothing. He said, all you're good for is to be thrown out and trodden underfoot. It's not enough just to have the Holy Ghost and say, I've got the Holy Ghost. But it's got to begin to flow and preserve and touch people's lives. Let me ask you something, no hands raised, but honestly, when was the last time you witnessed to somebody about the Holy Ghost or your experience with God? Now we might get quiet. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? Let me ask you this. Have you ever won anybody to God? I don't want to offend anybody's theology here, but it's not enough to be an usher. You've got to become a soul winner. Proverbs the 11th chapter, verse 30. He that winneth souls is wise. Not wise according to this world, but wise according to God's wisdom. And you know what? I'd rather take God's wisdom any day. We're so worried about PhDs and all these things from the universities, and we need all that stuff. But give me somebody that wants a PhD in soul winning. I just got to win somebody to God. I got to make a difference. I got to bring somebody to Jesus. I'm going to go back for my master's degree. I'm going to go back and further my studyings. I just got to figure out. I want to be a soul winner. I want to be wise in God's eyes. I want to make a difference. In Daniel, it says that he that turneth many to righteousness shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And he that winneth many souls shall shine as the brightness of the stars forever. Folks, I know it's okay. I know it's right. I know where God is taking his church in the last days. If we're going to have a great outpouring, we've got to have great people stand up. It's not coming from angels. God's not going to send angels from heaven to do his work, but it's going to be us. You and I. This giant has to be awakened. We got to stand to our feet. The things that encumber us, the weights and sins of this life, the things that we're caught up in. We're caught up in all kinds of stuff. And you know, I am too. I like to hunt and I like to fish. But somewhere from that, we got to disengage and we got to find ourselves engaged in the work of the man from Galilee. Amen. It's got to become a prominence again. It's got to become the most important thing. This has got to be the thing that we schedule around. Not our jobs, not our playtime, not all of that, but church and the work of God. Our lives got to revolve around this because we are born again Christians. We're his disciples. I gotta stop. Henry Luce said in Life magazine, "It is the day we have all dreaded, yet known in our seekers' hearts. It was our inescapable duty to meet when the world attack on freedom finally came home to us. This is a day of wrath. It is also a day of hope. Either our ideals as free men shall dominate in this century, or the pitiless bayonets of our enemies will. For this hour, America was made." And folks, let me tell you something. We are at a pivotal time right now. Either our ideals as free men are going to reign, or we are going to let the enemy continue to have his way in our homes, in our countries, in our very own lives. Isn't there anybody here that's tired of the letting the devil have his way in your life? You're tired of him having his way in your finances. You're tired of him having your way in your marriages. You're tired of bickering. You're tired of fighting. Is there anybody that would just stand to their feet? And you know what? Just because you got money in your bank account doesn't mean that everything's okay. You got to be okay down inside of here. You can be, amen, financially well off and still lost. Amen. You got to be okay in the Holy Ghost. Hey, just because you make every service doesn't mean you're going. You got to be okay in the Holy Ghost. You got to be a doer of the word. Isn't that what James says? Don't deceive yourselves. You got to be more than a hearer. See, the problem with our churches is we've got way more knowledge than we're putting to use. Don't tell me you can't sit under him and hear great messages. You've heard enough great messages. You got to take what you heard and begin to put it into somebody's life. You got to get on the streets. You got to tell somebody. Amen. Gloria a Dios.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Gracias, Jesus. Come on, folks. How many of you have been here 10 years? How about 20? 30? 40? Let me tell you something. The disciples, 3.5 years. They went into the book of Acts. They're the guys that said they that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Folks, there's enough people here. If we'd really get a hold of this, if we'd really understand this, if we'd really let the, see, here's the problem. We got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has to get us. It has to control us. We got to begin to operate under its influence. See, I came out of the world. When I went to the taverns, I was looking to get under the influence of something. I don't live like that anymore. But hey, folks, when they stepped out of the upper room, it says that they stumbled out of there, talking out of their heads. One observer said, these men are full of new wine. They're not under the influence of their humanness anymore. Something has control of their lives. We need to allow the Holy Ghost to get us. It doesn't matter if a preacher goes over 5 minutes. It doesn't matter if we have a 2-hour-long service. Hey, we're in the presence of God, and God's moving. Lives are getting changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 11:35 rolls around, and you got to get over to Cracker Barrel. Hey, I know I get hungry too, but the Bible says we don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Lunch will be there. Hey, for that half hour, just declare an extra little more fasting. Why do you want to quit when God's doing something? Why do you want to go to the restaurant when God's saving lives? Why don't you get up here and get your hand on somebody and let the Holy Ghost begin to flow through you? Come on up here, buddy. This is how easy it is. Do you have a need? Just say yeah.
Yeah, I have a need.
All right, can I pray with you?
You can pray with me.
All right. God. I don't know what his need is, but he has a need. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help him. And as you begin to do that, God will begin to speak to you. And you can even get used in the gift of the spirits, because as you're praying with him, God will begin to reveal to him. Oh, yeah, he's got back pain. This weekend we had a man in our service, actually Brother Chapman's dad. The guy starting a church in Platteville, his dad was in service. He came up to the front for the invitation of the altar, and I said, I would like to pray for you for the Holy Ghost. He said, well, I had it 2 years ago. I need to be refilled. And I'm saying, well, great. As I put my hand on his back, God spoke to me. He's got pain in his back. He's got some conditions in his back. I said, brother, I feel to pray right now, but before I pray for the Holy Ghost, I feel you have some health conditions. And he began to weep, and his wife began to weep. He said, yes, I do. Hey, folks, that's what I'm talking about. Supernatural touch of God in your mind where you can make a difference in somebody's life. I gotta close. I would like the people from Fort Atkinson to stand up. Let's give these folks a hand clap. All right, you may be seated. And I'm going to finish with this. But I'd like Callie. Callie, just raise your hand. Callie's seated next to my wife. I met Callie in town. They have on Wednesday evenings. It was on Wednesday evenings. They moved it to Thursday. And I promise I'll hurry. Just give me just a couple minutes. This is the good part. And I was there sitting down eating, and some of the folks from our church worked there. And I just really felt like, you know, I should go there and eat and maybe meet some people. I was eating there one night, and I began to walk out. I had to get to our church, and I was walking on, and as I walked out, I met Callie with her 2 little boys, one in each hand. And as I walked by, God says, you need to go talk to her. And you know what? I got the excuses in my mind, too. Well, I'm single, and she's single. It might not look good. And God says, you go talk to her. And I said, remember what I said, Callie? I said, well, are you from town? And she said, no. I said, well, I'm the pastor of River of Life Church. She says, oh, that's a coincidence, because I drove by your church twice today, and both times God spoke to me and said I'm supposed to go there. Yeah. Tammy, why don't you raise your hand? This is Tammy. We went door knocking earlier this year. I'll just throw in a quick note about door knocking and witnessing. Just love people, folks. Real door knocking and real witnessing just flows out of you from love for people. And I seen Tammy. She was sitting there, and they had some stuff they shouldn't have been maybe drinking and all that there. And I said, well, Tammy, I'm from the church over here on the corner, and I'd just like to invite you to church. She says, well, I'm going to come sometime. And I said, okay. And I walked away. Well, come to find out, Tammy worked at McDonald's. So every once in a while, I drive through McDonald's and buy a Coke or a Happy Meal or something. And I say, well, Tammy, I still haven't seen you at church. She said, well, I'm coming. I said, well, okay. One Sunday after I got done preaching, I look out the window. Here comes Tammy up the sidewalk. And it was 11:45. I said, man, I'm going to have to put another message together real soon. We sat and talked to Tammy. And she said, you know what? I was praying last night in my room. And I was weeping and crying. And God spoke to me. I needed to come to church. And here I am. And Tammy, did you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You are baptized in Jesus' name? Tammy, does your life changed?
Yes.
Tammy's life has changed. Here's Eddie. Eddie's the fella from the home missions video. Eddie's been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. His two boys rode the bikes all around the neighborhood, and we started having them come to church. And I said, you know, when one of these days I'm going to go knock on his door and we'll get a hold of Eddie. And I remember the day Eddie walked into the doors of the church. Said, Pastor, can I sit down and talk to you? I got some issues in my life. And I said, I'm all right with the issues. Come on. And we sat and talked. And Eddie's been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he's doing good. His kids have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Josh and Jessica, I want you two to stand up. Josh and Jessica, there's two new ones. You may be seated. See, folks, since my wife and I went to Fort Atkinson, we've had 22 people baptized and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 16 of them are since January of this year. Earlier this year, we sat down, much like Brother Grant. See, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart. That doesn't mean in the physical, Brother Grant. You know, when I went there, I'm wondering, can I do this? Am I going to back down? Are people going to get saved? Am I going to preach? Am I going to compromise? And, you know, as you go, you just begin to do it, you know, and do what you've been taught. And you want to change, and God said, you know, just do what got you this far. And we're just doing what got us this far. And I remember Tyler, their stepson, and I'm hurrying, just give me just a couple. But long-haired, every color of the rainbow, just walking the streets. And I said, you know what? We're going to pray for him, church, and we're going to win him to God. I started giving Tyler rides around town. He came to one of our fellowships, and wasn't too long after that, he was in the church, and he's seen the pictures of people being baptized and said, you know, I'd really like to get baptized. We baptized Tyler in the name of Jesus Christ. This last Sunday, Tyler received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But Josh and Jessica, Jessica especially was the hard one. But a week after Tyler got baptized and got the Holy Ghost, I met Josh. And I got to back up here a little. See, Tyler, before he got baptized, tried committing suicide. And I said, he was all right. I went and visited him. I said, Tyler, when you go out, we're going to go out to eat. So we're going to go out to eat, and we're standing in the front yard of the church. Their pit bull mysteriously gets loose, and they got to run over to the front yard of the church. I didn't even know Josh existed. The whole family's got to come over to the church. And we catch the dog, and I say, well, just this thought goes through my mind. I said, well, just instead of Tyler going out to eat, why don't we all go out to eat? We all went out to eat. And that Sunday, Josh got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He came out of the water speaking in other tongues. Yeah. Jessica was just a silent observer. She was all right, she thought. We had Corey Boyd down for a music conference, and she said, well, I got to back up again. She says, I don't pray out loud. You know, we all pray out loud. She said, I don't pray out loud. I said, that's all right. You just pray in your own way. And I remember she was sitting in the back one Sunday morning, and I felt like I was supposed to go to her. I said, you want to pray, don't you? She said, yeah, I want to pray. She came down to the front, raised her hands, began to weep and cry. She began to pray so loud, you couldn't hear anything but Jessica praying. So much for not praying out loud. She began to speak in other tongues with just a moment. And just a short time after that, she wasn't so sure about baptism. But just a short time after that, she says, I want to get baptized today. So folks, it's just you in your life. It isn't any mystery about it. Two of the other young boys that came to our church, Tony and Marco, have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But their mom, when they came, and this is what I want to end with here tonight. Their mom, when they came, filled out a baptism card for herself. And so I just held on to that, Brother Grant. I kept it on my desk and I would pray for that. And I told my wife, I said, Maggie filled one of these out. I'm just going to hold on to this because in the near future, we're going to baptize her and see her filled with the Holy Ghost. She'd come to church a couple times, but nothing real steady. And I think I told Brother Grant this story about a month ago. She came into our church after a Sunday morning service. And when she walked in, immediately how God speaks to me, my mind, I could just see like static. And I could hear the word confusion. She had all this confusion and chaos in her life. And then her kids kind of let the cat out of the bag. She had a little bit of a breakdown. And I said, well, that's all right. Everybody has them. And she walked out. And about 2 days later, I felt God speak to me. He says, you need to call Maggie today and tell her this. Tell her that I've got a plan for her life and that you want to help her with her confusion. She didn't come to my church. I'm like, this is crazy, God. I don't want to offend her and all the crazy stuff with pastors out there nowadays, you know. But I picked up my phone. That was that voice. And I called up and she answered. I said, Maggie, this is Pastor Dave calling. And I said, I don't know how this is going to come out, but I feel like I need to tell you something. And she said, well, what is it? And I said, well, I feel like God spoke to me about you. And she goes, oh, yeah? And I said, yeah. And I said, Maggie, I feel that God wants me to tell you that he's got a plan for your life. A purpose for your life. And you might not understand this, but you'll just have to trust me. And I said, and I feel that you have a lot of confusion and chaos in your life, and God wants to help you with that. And we kind of just hung up the phone and left it at that. I didn't know how it went. I even told Eddie. I said, boy, I don't know how that went. Eddie's friends with her. And I said, I don't know how that went, but I hope it's all right. About a week later, she came into our Thursday night class. And during that class, she just gave this testimony. She said, you know, that phone call really made a difference in my life. And 2 days later, I went to church to do some business. And I opened up the mailbox and I found this letter in there. And I know I went a little long here, but I just want to close. And it says, Dear Pastor Dave and Sister Sarah, I just wanted to say thank you for all you have done for me and my family, helping me find my way and having support. And she says it here, Proverbs 22:9, he who is gracious will be blessed. She says, also I believe God had you dial my number that day for a reason. I needed someone to tell me that God was reaching out to me and I have a purpose here. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Psalm 18:6. Forever grateful, Maggie Torres. The musicians want to come, but I would just like to make an invitation here tonight. I feel like God is making an invitation here tonight. Is there somebody under the sound of my voice that would be willing to say, God, I want to do something more than I've ever done. I want to make an impact on somebody's life. You know, God, I'd really like to win somebody. I'd be like to be a vessel that you can flow through. I'd like you to be able to speak to me, to speak to other people. I'd like to be able to pick up the phone and make a phone call that would make a difference in somebody's life. And God, there's somebody in my world that needs an ally. Somebody to help them chase the devil out of their lives. Somebody that needs a hand to hold. Somebody needs a friend that they can call. See, everybody in my church has my personal phone number. I get texts every day saying, "Pastor, I don't know what to do. Just pray for me." God, I want to do better than I've ever done. God, dig down inside of my heart. God, dig down inside of my soul. God, let me walk away with hearing something in my spirit that, God, I pray harder than I've ever prayed.